Hello and welcome to Keep On Cybertruckin', a podcast where three Cybertruck owners share their experiences and discuss all things electric vehicles and technology. We have Chase, we have William here. My name is Eric. How you guys doing?
Good.
Doing good.
Good the week.
Just another Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So we have some news. We have some things to talk about. I think the first thing what I want to get into is the didn't know if you guys seen this one.
Yeah, I did see this.
But
low key.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like the semi is something that's not getting a lot of publicity. Not a lot of people are talking about it, but slowly they are being delivered to different companies. I believe Costco, Walmart, and I want to say Sam's Club have taken delivery of, I think Pepsi as well has taken some deliveries of the Tesla Semi, which I think is pretty cool. I love the fact that they're getting into the semi world and disrupting that space as well. And, you know,
so we got Costco here. Who are the other ones that you had mentioned?
So I believe there's Pepsi, Sam's Club, Walmart, and Costco.
Okay. And I think wasn't Frito-Lay also in the mix there?
They could be. They could be. But I think the confirmed ones were the ones I mentioned. But Frito-Lay, possibly.
Yeah. These were always the companies that were kind of, I think, that were being teased or being invited to consider it back when they first launched the semi. It was the whole idea of, okay, this isn't going to be like cross-country trucking. These are good trucks for, you know, we got to go from the port nearby to the destination, or we got to go from the distribution center to the local warehouse. And, I mean, you know, it can, while it's being unloaded, it can be charged at you know, in these bays. So yeah, it's awesome. I've been eager to, I still haven't seen one on the road. I'm so bummed.
Yeah. I haven't seen one.
I've had a few truckers in the family that even specifically for Costco, and a good example is like, just flowers. They're like, okay, go up, you know, 2 hours to the local like flower place, get the flowers, bring them to Costco, and then drop it off. It's really short trips, but you're still in a large truck like that. So this is perfect for that. Anything that's not long haul, I think this is a great way to get more visibility and more trucks on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah, what I would like is, it's something that we've complained about many times about Tesla, is the fact that there's a lack of transparency. I would love for them, okay, so let me backtrack a little bit. Cybertruck was promised all this, right? 500 miles, 14,000 pound towing capacity, all these numbers and things that were promised to a six seat truck. And they didn't deliver some of those things. I would be very curious to see with the semi what they promised as opposed to what they're actually delivering, because this is industrial. It's not consumer related, so I don't think, or at least there's nobody working at these companies that's going, hey, I drive this truck every day, and I know they said this and this and this, but they didn't give it to us. You know, we're not getting that information.
Yeah.
That's the one thing with, you know, this content creator thing where, you know, guys like us, we're getting a Cybertruck, and then we're sharing our experiences. We're sharing the information to the masses. So that way, that information is out there. That's not happening with the semi. So I would love to see, you know, hey, did they, everything that they promised, are they giving that, or at least getting close to that? I'd love to know that.
Yeah, I feel like the semi was kind of one of those, was the first time that we saw Tesla, the luxury brand, start to show a industrial, functional vehicle that was not focused on luxury appointments. It wasn't focused. I mean, you know, the full self-driving is always part of the Tesla conversation, no matter how much you try. but it's like the presence of the rear view mirrors is pretty interesting, because considering the original version of it was just, you know, the video views of the rear view. But I think that it's cool to see some of these vehicles where it's like, this is a duty built, purpose built vehicle that's meant to be an industrial workhorse. It doesn't have, you know, foot warmers. It doesn't have like a back massager. It doesn't have, it doesn't necessarily have audible, or tidal music built into it. Probably does, but I mean, it's not obliging that. This is them trying to offer a non-long haul, you know, lighter than load or whatever. I'm not a trucker. I just know the terms that I see on the truck sometimes. But
You're doing great.
Thank you. I've been faking it for years. It's just really, really great to see this kind of there's nothing out there, I think, that's in this kind of appointment that is geared into this space. And to see Tesla starting to furnish these, especially after so long, it is kind of one of those, okay, cool. The problem was obviously allocating enough battery to go into these vehicles, because they have to be so massive. They have to have so much energy to them that, didn't somebody do the math? Like basically how many battery packs for another vehicle would be in every semi? You know, it's like 20 Model 3s worth or something like that.
Yeah.
Here, where is it? Where's the battery pack here?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. That's what I've been trying to figure out here.
300.
I mean, they are saying that there's approximately 300 or 500 miles. So I'm sure there's different variants there.
Yeah.
So those are the things I want to know. Did they meet that? You know, are they really getting that 300 or 500? You know, are they really getting the 0 to 60 miles per hour in 20 seconds? Are they really getting the 70%, range in 30 minutes of charging? You know, are they getting those numbers? Because that's the thing that we always complain about, is Tesla overpromises, underdelivers.
Yeah.
We're not hearing anything.
It seems like the semi though is kind of it's an engineering achievement for a company to be, you know, like, yeah, we've been making sedans, but screw it, we're going to make a freaking tractor trailer. You know, for them to shift into something like this, it's like, okay, let's, you know, they seem confident. Let's see what they're going to present. And I'm sure that it's in all those efficiencies that they'll brag about eventually, is the idea of, you know, yeah, the 0 to 60, the acceleration time, it's there. I mean, it may not be exactly there, but it could be one of those things where a trucker is just like, yeah, it's definitely faster than diesel. It's definitely faster than anything else out there. Is it 0 to 60 in like 20 seconds as they're advertising?
I was about to make fun of that.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. It's like, it's right there. You know, it's one of those. Okay, so that's the bar that they've set. So, you know, I imagine if a trucker isn't going to be like, yeah, I mean, it's usually like 25 seconds. No, they're not looking at their watch. But it definitely, I mean, just the battery, the type of drivetrain, the change in what the vehicle is, I mean, it already has to carry some of those efficiencies. Otherwise, it wouldn't be able to reach the range that I'm sure that they are. But
one thing about the 0 to 60 that I'm appreciative in, you know, most Teslas is just having that capability of being able to get up to speed when you need to in a pinch. And I'm sure a trucker, you know, who runs in diesel day and day would appreciate 20 seconds. They're like, whoa, and that's the difference between me waiting on an on-ramp for, you know, 4 minutes and actually being able to merge in when I need to. The one thing I was going to bring up is that it's a good point that we don't have, they're not selling these to, you know, Tesla influencers that have 5,000 followers on X, you know.
Yeah. They're not selling to Chase.
No, they're not selling it to me that I can go in, like, put my fingers in the frunk and then see if they snap off. but they are selling them to companies that need them. So I'm sure it's much more of like a white glove service, like straight to the companies. If there's anything wrong, it's probably good that we don't hear about it, because if it was wrong, it would be massive. It'd be like, hey, free delay or Costco is, you know, canceling Tesla orders or whatnot. You know, it'd be massive.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to finding out more. I'm don't be surprised if you guys see on the news that I'm chasing down a semi when I see one on the freeway. I'm waving them down, you know, cutting them off, making them stop so that way I can ask them some questions.
Just don't damage your Cybertruck again, okay?
Not again.
Just,
you know, no. Just
sit it out.
No.
I don't think you'll win that fight.
No, definitely not.
I want to know that if that is a frunk, because clearly you can see there's a lid there. Like, is it a frunk or is it like access to something other?
It could just be access, but possibly a frunk. Yeah. You never know.
Yeah.
I was looking at it originally and I was going, it might be too high for people to reach, but no.
I mean, it may be one of those quarters. It may just be one of those things that needs to be. I mean, I don't know what National Highway Transportation Safety says. I don't know what Department of Transportation says. I'm sure that all these trucks have to conform to certain specifications. And I imagine the moment they said an electric vehicle, they're like, all right, it has to have the same kind of power cutoff that's available in what's expected to be a frunk or a front area, so that first responders still have the similar. Okay, well, the thing pops up and there's the orange tag. So snip it and you know, you're safe. Possibly. Or at least the battery's disconnected.
Yeah.
I want to know, like, if that was actually happened. Like, I want to see a story of that happening and hear from the people that actually clipped it. Because I feel like if this thing was on fire and I was a first responder and, like, I know that everybody's out of the vehicle, I'm just going to let it burn. I'm not even going to touch it. Like, wait for firefighters to come in.
Oh, yeah. I don't think that they intervene. If there's no person danger to personnel, mm-hmm. I'm sure that they're like, we're not going to create danger to personnel by sending somebody in there. But I think it's one of those, it's not on fire, but they're concerned about something's going on. There's a possibility of discharge or whatever. It may just be standard operating procedure. Yeah, something. It may just be standard operating procedure for them to just be like, all right, the Tesla's been in an accident. First step is to, you know, sever the main voltage line to you know, close whatever and then isolate the battery.
Well, we have two comments here. So Bill made a good observation. He's saying that if you notice, the semi has one windshield wiper, just like the Cybertruck.
So that's where they got it from.
So they're doing. There's two vehicles that we know of that are having that massive windshield wiper, and then we have Matt in the chat. He says, "Hey guys, love your podcast. So thank you, Matt."
Yo.
He also states that he took delivery of his all-wheel drive this week, and his VIN is 9086.
Oh my!
So. Congratulations, Matt.
Congrats.
Welcome to the family.
They're rapidly approaching the 10,000 mark. 10, welcome, 000. Matt. You made it in under the wire.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to bring this up. Oh, you know what? I did find let me pull up the companies that I found. I think this is it. Yep. So, yeah. Pepsi, Walmart, and Costco. Pepsi actually has 36 of these semis.
Yeah.
That's big.
So they're making them. It's not like Pepsi has one. You know, they're making them. They have 36. So they're making them. It's just, if you're not really paying attention, you know, you're not going to know. So
probably going to be a huge cost savings because my brother is an interesting one. If we're speaking about like non-conventional Tesla use cases, I think I mentioned it before, they have three Model Ys in their police fleet. And mm-hmm. they did the numbers that they said that they would save, you know, roughly $70,000 a year just in gas prices alone because of how much that they drive those things just by switching to Tesla. Hmm.
Yeah, so I know sure that. They're thinking the same. I believe it's Anaheim police here in California is, I think by the end of this month, are going to start having Model Ys in their fleet.
Yeah.
I find that interesting because, you know, obviously there's, you know, multiple cops on duty, but, you know, what if you're in a high speed chase and then you go, oh no, I need to go charge.
get a pull in. Yeah. I can't even imagine out there because like for instance, his case, he's in Kansas City where gas prices are still like high, but normal, but out in Anaheim, I can't imagine like $5-$6. It's going to be hundreds of thousands you're going to be saving a year just per vehicle.
Definitely. It's going to be something exciting. And then they're also doing, I think they mentioned that they're not going to put a lot of, you're not going to really notice that they're police vehicles, because they're going to kind of keep it real low key. And so that's going to throw some people off as well. They're not going to, they're going to see Model Ys just driving around and they're not going to know that they're police. So.
Yeah, I thought, I thought that like, I mean, I don't know how Anaheim's different, but I thought that for the most part, LA kind of resisted the high speed chase and mostly just relied on helicopters for chasing folks. So it's kind of like, all right, you can run. The helicopter's going to find you. They're having a great view of you the whole time. Right. And then we'll send the Model Y to come take you in afterwards.
Yeah, exactly.
I just want the Cybertruck to be a police vehicle at this point. I think it'd be look so cool.
That would actually look really cool.
Bulletproof. Yep.
Moving on. Oh, you know what? Matt made another comment. He says that he's seen a report of a 12,000 VIN today. So it's looking like they're up into the 12,000s.
Because they confirmed at the event that it was that they're up to 1,000 a week. Now, if they're consistently doing 1,000 a week, that's up for question, but they were able to hit that rate, so that's good. So I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked either. Let's see. Okay. I'm going to pull... if I could find it now. I wanted to bring up the news of... if it can.
Wait, we're seeing a lot of things here.
I'm sorry, I know.
Wow.
I know what you're going for.
So, the new options for the Cybertruck.
Yeah.
Let's just focus on one and we'll not talk about the other one.
Yeah. So, okay. So then obviously focusing on the one we will talk about. So my question, weren't there photos of Kim Kardashian with a Cybertruck with a white interior before she had one with a gray interior?
Oh,
am I crazy?
That's
because I thought that she did a bunch of photo shoots of her getting out there. There's actually, okay. So this is how LA I am, I guess.
Following Kim Kardashian a lot closer than I am. Will.
It's entirely based on the fact that Kim Kardashian was stopped at a Starbucks that I recognize as the Starbucks that's in Malibu, along the PCH, way out in the middle of nowhere. But it's this renovated little strip mall. This is how dumb I am. But it's this one little Starbucks location that she was at. And I'm like, oh, I know that place. And I remember because she's standing by the door and the door was open and I could have sworn her interior looked like it was a white interior. And then later on, photos appeared that were gray interiors. So
I do see photos with a white interior. So, yeah, I think if she started, it definitely was white. But then, yeah, we saw later on it was gray. And it looked like it could have done an aftermarket. But
I thought it was a mod. I thought she changed it. You know, it's Kim Kardashian, so I imagine she would have just been like, wish it was gray, and then came back the next day and somebody had painted it or fixed it or wrapped it or done something, you know, or just gone and stolen another one or bought another one or who knows. I don't know. I don't know why I said stolen.
Yeah,
it's the quickest way to get something. No implications.
Yeah. I don't think she got early access to this one. But yeah, I think if anything, she probably modded it after the fact. It's not like super dark. It's like kind of a gray, kind of fades into the leather
gray.
Bit.
I like it. I actually like it. I don't hate the white, but the gray does kind of just how it's all just black. I think the LED strip ambient lighting just kind of pops a little bit more with the setup.
Yeah.
But
I think that the white is always a concern because it's basically like having a whiteboard in your car, and every little dot, every little potential dust, you know, the moment you like a piece of food lands on it and stains it or something, you're like, that's it. It's always going to be there and I'm always going to see it because it's white and there's that dot of ketchup or whatever. But I mean, this looks hot. I mean, well, it looks really, really, really cool. I'm not sure if everybody's on board with kind of the monotone that it is, but I mean, that is what it is for right now. But I think that it looks much more subdued and calming on the interior with having a darker color rather than having a white interior highlight that kind of distracts from the overall subduedness of the interior.
You know what it was? Specifically for those at home following Kim Kardashian. It was the photos that she took in a light blue dress. It looks like probably in front of a house in the driveway. That's specifically there, which is interesting.
Do you have that? Do you want to share it?
I found the one photo, but I can't find the full photo shoot. Hold on.
Just be careful what photos you're sharing, okay?
Kim Kardashian. Oh, no. Okay. My Google search is messed up.
See what you did, Will.
I'm just hearing about...
Don't get me started about Kim Kardashian, man. We'll talk for... No. Welcome to the Kim Kardashian part.
Yeah, they're just... I'll find it, but they're just talking about Tom Brady. I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah. It's because she was at the Tom Brady but roasted.
Here we go.
There's controversy because apparently in the video that went to Netflix, they had censored the fact she was getting booed.
Yeah, after the fact. That was...
Yeah, on the that's right, on the re-upload.
You make it
Will,
look
you know
worse.
Too much about Kim Kardashian. You're on top of all of the news.
The entertainment industry is at a crawl right now. All I have time for, all I can do right now to entertain myself is read Reddit. That's all I do.
I don't know. I'm kind of going back and forth because it kind of looks like we know that she didn't modify it. It was just kind of a stock, like, dual motor, most likely. And this looks like another stock dual motor that I feel like if she was going to customize it, she would do more than just change the white leather interior to dark black. Unless
okay, so this
she's
picture,
friends with Elon, maybe?
Well, this picture, I mean, it's kind of hard to tell, but I mean, it looks black. It doesn't look gray. It looks black. So it could just be a mod, but.
But why just do that? Like, I feel like if you're going to mod the vehicle, like obviously she's tinted the windows, that makes sense. But why stop there? Like why not wrap it?
So my theory might be, or just to add a theory to the list, because none of this will be proven, so it's all just fun at this point. But what if she got okay, so there's been a lot of talk about Tesla kind of earmarking a lot of Cybertrucks for potential celebrity deliveries, assuming that they appear with the vehicle or whatever. And I'm kind of wondering if they only had – she wanted one day one. She wanted it early, and we saw photos of with her very early on in the delivery cycle. So what if she got it, and then she originally tried to change the color, and then somebody at Tesla who manages these celebrity hookups was kind of like, you didn't like the white? What happened? And they were like, yeah, she was looking for something with a different color, and they were like, say no more. We've actually got tactical gray coming soon. We'll hook you up with that one instead.
And, any possibility?
And, you know, it was just one of those conversations that happens by accident.
The tint on that window, I mean, that's going to be like 0%.
Yeah, she can afford the ticket if she gets pulled over.
Well, getting back to the options that they're having, we're going to get into Chase's favorite part. The wheels. The wheels and tires.
Chase
so,
needs a moment. He's like,
I did make a comment on someone's thread that did get like 5,000 views, so I'll claim it.
I think claim. I saw it. Didn't you just like post up a bunch of vomit emojis?
I was just like, I did like the emoji for the interior and just the vomit emoji for the new tires, and then people were just like, yep.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was on this post too.
Yeah, I think that this might be the Wish version of the Aerocats. This is the Temu version of the.
It's the all-terrain tires we have at home. Mom says.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. We don't need all-terrain tires. We have all-terrain tires at home.
But no, Caps that's. I think that's kind of the biggest thing is that okay, this is essentially the street tire. They're not really calling it that, but this is the street tire, and this is hopefully
the all-season tire.
Yeah, hopefully not the new AeroCap covers, because I don't know, it just looks really goofy.
So, let me see if I can find it. But they actually show that there's different covers for all terrain and all season. Now I'm going to go down this rabbit hole trying to find this. Here, why don't you guys help me out here by... Oh, wait, maybe I found it. Okay, yes, I found it. Bear with me. Bear with me. Right here. So you can see that the all-season tires have a different cover than the all-terrain.
Okay. That's true. Good call. Good catch. Like, I didn't... Yeah, I looked at this page, too, and I totally missed that. Because, yeah, that doesn't look like the aero caps. No. It looks like a new kind of aero cap.
Yeah. They're sticking with the going into the tire look, as opposed to the all-season tires, which it's literally just like a hubcap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I like the all-terrain covers more than the all-season covers. But, you know, I have the originals, so.
Lucky.
So
what's
I'm good either way.
Price on those?
Dude, I can't tell you how many people message me wanting to buy them.
What's the highest bid so far?
2,000.
Really? But, I've seen them for 25, but yeah, go ahead.
Well, no. So 2,000 that I've actually talked to somebody about. Everybody that's messaged me after that, I don't even entertain it. I don't even respond to them. So, because I'm not going to sell them. So I'm not even like taking it out for bid, so to speak. So, I mean, I could maybe get more, but I'm not looking to sell them. So,
totally.
I don't want mine. I don't care that they're damaging the tires. I kind of want one.
Same. Well, I would take these. The new design, I would take those.
For the all-terrain tires, I would take them. The all-season, those are...
Yeah.
Matt right now is in the chat, and he agrees. He says those all-season covers look terrible.
They look like hubcaps.
I am in agreement.
They look like hubcaps. It's like easiest way to turn people off. Hey, it looks like a hubcap. Oh, that's dumb. We haven't done hubcaps in like forever. That looks stupid. You know, boom. Not interested.
Yeah. I don't like those. But the all-terrain, I mean, they're okay. I like them more. I like the originals the best. But mm-hmm. And then I did a video, shameless plug. I did a video last week in regards to testing range and efficiency with different settings on the suspension, as well as how the Cybertruck fares with and without the aero covers. So, you know, anybody interested?
With tailgate up and down, or are you going to have to do another one?
I did tonneau open, tailgate up. Okay. And I probably should have done it down because I got a few comments asking for that. So I'm going to probably do that test again.
Not to be the too abstract guy here, but wasn't there a Mythbusters episode that addresses this very question?
Yeah, it's proven. Like it's definitely better aerodynamics. Like that's the whole reason why you'd have those like mesh nets mm-hmm. for the longest time. Yeah, because you get better airflow yeah. that way.
I mentioned in my video that when I had the tonneau open and I had the tailgate up, obviously, that I did feel that resistance. I did feel when I was driving. It's very subtle, but because I have over 5,000 miles on my Cybertruck and I've driven 99% of those miles with the tonneau closed, mm-hmm. I know what it feels like to drive the Cybertruck with the tonneau closed, that aerodynamics, right?
Yeah.
There's no drag, basically. And then to have the tonneau open with that tailgate, I felt it. I literally felt the little tug. And yeah, so it's a thing, so...
So one thing I will mention that you probably should call out too when you do the tailgate down, take a note of the visibility with tailgate up and tailgate down from the rear view mirror.
Okay.
I just realized this because we picked up a kid's play set that mm-hmm. Was in the bed, so tailgate was down because it was too big to not. But with the tailgate down, I was like, I have so much more visibility through the rearview mirror because it's not blocking like half of the view.
Yeah. Yep. No, I agree. And then I did another video where because I got a bed mat, and William, I need to give you your bed mat. But I was talking about how there should be a camera that looks into what they call the vault, right? The best. Yes. because when the tonneau's closed, you can't see anything back there.
No.
Yeah.
And I would love to be able to have a little camera back there that has night vision, and you could see back there, and it, you know, and you could just see whatever's back there while you're driving and know if it's.
I'm not even sure you need night vision. You could literally, I mean, because you can control the lights in the vault. So just make it so every time you activate the camera that's in the vault, the lights come up on it too. So
there you go.
We're just kind of replacing the rear view camera if the tailgate's down.
Yeah.
So you can have that.
Yeah.
Have visibility. Well,
Matt is asking a question. He's asking, when do you think we can get the all-terrain covers again? This is Chase's biggest gripe. So go ahead, Chase. What do you think? All-terrain
covers. Like the aero wheel covers.
Yeah.
I mean, they haven't told us jack shit, so...
We'll get them a day before we get full self-driving.
I mean, when it comes to recalls, they're great.
Yeah.
Know, they're on top of it. But when it comes to something that they promised and they didn't deliver on, they're just like... They're just I don't know. Like, not to segue, but that's actually into something I wanted to talk about, was the... I did get an answer to go fix the recall. So I went to go set an appointment and was like, oh, the nearest appointment is 25 days from now. I'm like, well, that doesn't make any sense. But after talking to an employee, I finally got a message back. They're like, hey, the fix literally takes 20 minutes. Just bring it by anytime you want. So they're like, okay, you don't need the appointment. Just bring it by. We'll put the rivet in and it's good as new.
They were doing it at that one EV meetup in Long Beach, I believe. Jig and the screw, bam, boom.
Yeah.
Over and over.
Yeah. Oh, they're knocking them out. First of all, Hugo's in chat saying what's up. So what's up, Hugo? Got to give you a shout out. So I don't know if you guys watch TFL. As you guys know, I love those guys. Did a video with those guys. They were commenting about how they took delivery finally. So congratulations to them. They finally took delivery of their Cybertruck, and it has the rivet. And they were talking about whether or not the Cybertrucks that don't have the rivet, will those be collector's items? And that is part of the reason why I will not get the rivet. So,
I mean, that's
I'm
fair.
Keeping those aero covers. I'm not getting a rivet. I'm trying to.
Oh, gee.
Maximize value.
My light.
Oh, whoa. So it's interesting you bring that up, because like I thought the same thing. I was just like, I really don't have any need to get the recall, because like I'm not an idiot. I'm not gonna like slam on the accelerator as hard as I can, as often as I can, to the point where it's gonna like disadhesive and slip off. But I will say though that if those of you that are looking to rent a Cybertruck on Turo just recently this week put out an email to all the Cybertruck owners, and William can confirm. They're like, hey, if you've got a recall on a vehicle, you're not allowed to be on Turo.
Yep.
And they're like, you've got until June to fix it. And what's odd about that is the timing of that also coincides with what I'll call is like a slowdown in Turo rentals for Cybertrucks. And myself, I know William has the same thing, as well as two other people in town that I've talked to have noticed a slowdown. So I'm not sure if they like put a halt on the algorithm on like Turo's side until people actually fix the recall, but something's going on there.
I wonder if it's an automation. I wonder if I having dealt with Turo more in this last week than I have in my entire life, and it has been quite cumbersome. I will say this. I think that Turo relies on a lot of standard operating procedures that they've created, which are definitely the best faith decisions for a company to make. You're facilitating rentals, so you're a bad middleman if you're facilitating rentals between a renter and somebody whose car explodes or car's wheels fall off, and there's a recall that could fix it. So as far as Turo is concerned, they're like, you need to fix it. We can't rent your car until you fix it. So it makes sense that that's going on there, but it is kind of one of those, okay, so, you know, the Cybertruck, it's like, you know, or Tesla in general, you're like, you know, you get this nasty NHTSA recall notice letter in your mailbox, big red line across the front, recall notice, you know, you're in danger, you know, just, you know, it's a very eye-catching. And so I think I can see the concern for it, but there's a part of me that's also kind of like, Could we just also just tell the renters, guys, don't stomp on this on the pedal. That's simple. The
severity of recall for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's one of those, you know, it's like, yes, it's a recall, but not in the sense that, you know, there have been vehicles that were, when rear-ended, would explode. That's a recall. There were airbags that would just deploy while driving. That's a recall for sure. The cover on your throttle might slide off if you stomp it angrily with your entire weight. That happens when you stomp things.
Yeah.
So, but I understand the legal side of it. I just wish that there was a little bit more nuance to the conversation.
Yeah, I agree. And until literally yesterday, I thought that, oh shit, I bet that's why we haven't had any rentals for May. And then the day after we got the email, literally yesterday, we got another rental come in for this weekend. So I know it's still active, but I'm wondering, like, it must be an algorithm thing until they know that they're up. Because it's possible someone could just found us directly through social media.
Yeah.
And booked us directly that way, but I'm not sure.
It would be nice to know kind of the referral. It would be nice to know kind of where you're getting sourced from. But let's see if I can. My brain has been terrible the last couple of days. Let's see if I can remember it. I just think that maybe, like you had said before, maybe the algorithm is just playing havoc with us for now. And I also think that maybe the time has come where, I don't know if your area, you've got a lot more Cybertrucks that you're seeing on Turo, so you're kind of competing with. And I'm imagining that there are some Turo hosts who are more familiar with the algorithm than we are. And so they know the little tweaks to do to kind of get your attention. You know, oh, this one's cheaper. Oh, but the delivery fee is a little bit more expensive. But it doesn't show up on the little app or on the map of where to pick it up. Or, you know, oh, you know, this one's cheaper, but it's 50 miles a day, not 300 miles a day or something like that. Just those little things that some drivers are just like, I only need 50 miles a day. It's fine. I'm not going to drive it that much. So it might be shifting things as we speak.
It's true. Yeah, I had one rental that they took it to a golf course and put it on, like, right off of the first tee box because it was like they had a golf tournament they were running. So they just sat on the golf course.
Yeah.
Drive it from our house out there and then back and then all that. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, Eric and I are in LA. And I mean, I talked to a couple of different vehicle rental companies that rent to movies and TV shows and whatever. I had almost had a rental for the beginning of this month. And, you know, I think in talking to the guy, he was like, yeah, I think it's kind of nice that that a lot of the producers out here and people who would do this kind of hiring don't know about Turo. And I'm like, well, I mean, it's yes, on its face, you're right. But knowing the way that the film and motion picture entertainment industry works, it's like you kind of don't want to have the vehicle rented to somebody on the crew who then has to figure out how to get the car working or keep it running or move it or know anything about it. You know, not a lot of rental companies want to find out, hey, we need to remove the windshield for this shot. Hey, we were hoping we could just like put it up on jack stands and take the wheels off for this one shot. Is that cool? Like some of that stuff violates terms of services or parts of the agreement of the rental. So it is, you know, they want to go directly to people for it, but yeah. Turo's a weird, weird place.
Hey, and Turo was good to you guys for quite a while.
It's been pretty good still so far.
I'm super happy with my experience on Turo. Of the people who, a lot of the people I've dealt with in the early days were, hey man, I've got my reservation. I'm so excited. I can't wait to get mine. I had to rent yours just to try it. I wanted to do a test drive. I wanted to put it in my garage. I wanted to show it to my family and see if everything would fit. All that stuff. I love those rentals. Those folks, super, super nice, everything. But then, you know, you're always going to have people on the other side where you're like, your communication is off. You know, you're wondering like kind of what's going on with the car. You know, it gets returned and it's dirty or there's some stuff left behind in it. Or it's just like, or, you know, you see you didn't get a five-star or a full, you know, good review out of it. But they never communicated an opportunity to kind of fix things or clear things up or do whatever. So, yeah, it's that customer service experience. In general, 90% of it, it's good. And then there's the 10%.
Yeah, takes a little bit of extra work, but I actually enjoy it. Like, I enjoy being able to, like, meet with them before and after, be like, run through everything, be like, hey, what do you think? And get that kind of, like, feedback just to see, and also kind of get them excited about it. Because for the most part, most all the rentals have been reservation holders of some sort, or people that were interested in buying it. There's only been the one, and then possibly this weekend, that will be, like, a contactless handoff. Which I'm not too much of a fan of, because I like to have that kind of customer experience, but it is possible. Like, I don't know if you put your renters as drivers on your account.
I do.
Yeah, that's a super easy way. Like, I can just leave the vehicle wherever, put a spare key in there, and then add them so they can pull it up with their app and they can access the vehicle, and it's super easy. So shout out to Tesla for making Turo, like, super easy.
Yeah.
There you go.
Also, shout out to Eric's folks. I'm going to go grab another beer. Be right back.
Okay, so what he's referring to is, I was talking to him before we started, and I was telling him how my parents, that they think Will's their favorite. And I said, that's something, right? Because their son is on this podcast, and yet Will is their favorite. And
trying to tell you something.
Yeah, I know. And my dad asked me, he goes, hey, does Will, like, drink a little bit during the podcast? I go, yeah, he does. And he goes, oh, I love him even more. So that's why. But we have a comment here, or a question, actually, from Obina. He's asking he says that he noticed a space inside of the vault bed by the bed door, trunk door, so I'm assuming he means the tailgate, that there's a line, and he's asking if that's normal.
Oh, like a little gap? Because I should send you what I was just talking about.
Okay, he just commented, he made another, so he goes, so you know when you open the bed, there seems to be a space by the bed door that you can see the road through. Okay, so the space in between, so when the tailgate is open, the space in between what would be the bed floor and the tailgate.
Yes. I've got it perfect. Because I think I sent you that photo, but let me just send it to you again so you have it on hand. But so, that's funny.
So I think what he's referring to is the fact how the Rivian doesn't have that.
We were just talking about this. Actually, it was before the show, I think last week they were talking about it, but there's a really great point and reason why. Let me see here real quick.
So Obina, I hope that's what you're referring to, the gap in between the bed floor. You guys can see my cursor, right?
Well, I mean, my finger's in there too.
Yeah, but I'm because I'm talking. Here's the bed floor, and then here's the tailgate, and here's Chase's beautiful finger. Here's the gap, and then obviously there's a bigger gap here, and that's for your hand to go in to open up the cargo area underneath
with the gate closed.
Yes. So this is normal. Obina, this is all normal.
I think it is by design, and we were talking about this. This was actually not last weekend, the weekend before. We went and picked up some dirt and some garden beds that were, like, made out of wood. So we just had, like, a bunch of, like, dirt and stuff in the bed. So, like, as we're unloading it, I'm, like, sweeping it out. So I'm trying to sweep out all the dirt, and you can kind of see as I'm sweeping it out, obviously the dirt gets caught in that little gap and doesn't go through until you actually close the tailgate. And this is the tailgate closed, and you can see that nice little line of dirt that falls through that gap, and then you can sweep away the dirt. So this is, I think it's kind of a nice little design feature that's not talked about, that it's just kind of nice to have for truck stuff like this, where you have, you know, dirt and things or debris, whatnot, in comparison to the Rivian, like the R1T, where it's completely solid, so it's more likely dirt's going to get caught in there and stay in there.
Yes. Yeah, and we talked about that I remember seeing somewhere that because the Rivian has a plate that goes over that gap. So that way it's one continuous floor that when you have dirt or any type of debris that's in the bed of the truck, of the R1T, that when you go to like rinse it out, you're essentially just throwing it into that cargo area underneath. And
right.
There's some gaps and holes down there that just dirt just gets in there and you can't like ever get it out.
Or if you're a dum-dum like this guy, and leave the tonneau cover open through a car wash and try to salvage it halfway through the car wash, then you end up with a soapy bed and that leaves a trough for all of the soap to fall out of. Needless to say, I went through the car wash again.
Didn't you read the manual? What are you doing?
I avoided my warranty and I don't feel bad.
Surprise, you weren't electrocuted.
I'm like, I'm not going to put it in car wash mode just to feel like a rebel. Like,
that's right. Just put it in neutral.
Yeah, just put it in
roll
neutral.
Roll the dice. The door opens.
I'll still fold the mirrors, though. I'm not a crazy person.
Yeah, you're like, I'm not stupid.
I wanted to also talk about the... I don't know if you guys seen this,
yeah.
But...
hey, Farzad.
Yep, Farzad jumped into this conversation, but Elon... There was a conversation happening about the latest version of Tesla supervised self-driving. And Bill Lee mentioned, can't wait for full self-driving 12.4. Full self-driving 12.3.6 has been eye-opening. It's brilliantly crept through an intersection yesterday, which I had recorded. And then Elon comments saying, probably start rolling out 12.4 next week. And this was today when Elon. And then he gets into some more information over here. So he says 12.4 has almost completely retrained, models. The final touches are for comfort, as it sometimes accelerates or brakes too fast for most people's taste, which I do agree. He goes on to say that 12.5 and 12.6 are in various stages of testing. We're getting into rare, complex situations. For example, going down a narrow one-way road, encountering a road closure and having to reverse out to find a new route. He then goes on to say that closure also needs to be communicated to the rest of the fleet so you don't get a whole bunch of Teslas stuck down a road.
# robotaxis.
Exactly. That was the thing that I found the most interesting, the fact that they're going to all communicate. Because I know that's something that they've talked about. And going back to the semi, which we opened the show with, that remember, they mentioned having one driver drive a semi. He has his trailer hitched to the semi. And then there can be another semi with another trailer behind him with no driver. And it's going to follow the driver in the first semi.
I thought they called it something like caravan mode or something.
Something like that. And there's that communication from vehicle to vehicle that they've talked about for years. And now Elon is finally really, talking about it. We're on that cusp of getting that implemented into their fleet. So,
yeah.
There have been so many times where I wish that caravan mode existed just in the Teslas in general. Just I've been stuck somewhere, or it's like you need to go pick up your car from the service center, but you don't have a loaner, but you have like if you have another Tesla, it'd be so great to just be able to go pick up your car and then tell your other car, okay, follow me home. Just stay right on the tail.
What brings up it tiptoes into those sketchy topics of the future of highways, are they fully autonomous, or do we start off with like autonomous lanes?
Oh God, I that's one of the things that when I remember FSD and all the discussion about autonomy and automated vehicles, probably the most eye opening thing. Numbers make my brain go very happy. So when somebody had said like the per lane utilization of your average highway road, this was like 10 years ago, I think, when I read this. Per lane utilization was something between 2,000 to 3,000 vehicles per hour. That's like the maximum utilization that a lane, a single lane on a highway can achieve with a human driver. But with automated driving, it's possible to reach up to, I think that it said something like 30,000 vehicles per lane per hour. And it's sometimes like, so you more. Just took every 5-lane highway, if automated, you could now squeeze a third of, or hang on, quick math. Yeah, what? 5 lanes, 15, so half of that into a single lane. If it was all automated, like you're.
That's a good question. But like it's a thought that I haven't even thought of, like the overwear of the roads.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like you're talking about serious wear and tear, but I mean, think about how much roads we've made, how wide of highways we've added. Oh, it's got to expand. It's got to expand. You know, here in LA, the 405, it's got to be wider. Oh, by next year, it's got to be wider. It's got to be wider. Everything. The 10 across the country, just keep adding lanes. And then eventually you hit a point where it's like, I mean, if 30 years from now, if you had a fully automated majority. And that was the other part of that conversation was like, you could reach that kind of optimization, or you would start to see optimization per lane if only something like less than 10% of the U.S. fleet was automated. If it had fully automated drivers, if only 10% of the fleet using a highway, you would start to see like traffic reduction. You'd see almost a complete eradication of traffic jams, you know?
Well, it's efficiency, right?
Yeah,
it's about, you know, my kids sometimes ask me, you know, when we hit traffic and they go, why is there traffic? You know, my eldest will ask, you know, if everyone's driving the same speed, why would there like why is there slowdown? And I go, because there's that guy that's not driving the same speed. There's a guy cutting people off. There's this. And, you know, but that's also, I think, a big reason why there's a lot of people in the country that hate Tesla, hate Elon. The reason why we get the bird sometimes when we're driving, right, is because they don't like the idea of autonomous vehicles. And
I think that a lot of people just kind of, you know, look for something to love or hate on a daily basis. And, you know, they go for the easy punching bags. You know, Elon isn't driving my car. Elon had probably very little to do with the assembly of my car. I salute and thank all the tens of thousands of people who work at Tesla, who assemble these vehicles, who make them, who deal with some real crap in their jobs to build these cars. And that's why every time somebody's like, oh, you're gonna buy the Cybertruck, you know, just let Elon, you know, take your money. And I'm like, no, I like to think about the tens of thousands of other jobs and people who proudly built a vehicle and they were happy with it. And they're going to get up tomorrow and they're going to build more of them. I appreciate them. It's like, I think that it's naive that people think so many things pass through Elon with a positive net benefit, you know, from what it sounds like, there's a lot of discussion that I will probably get more of as time goes on about Elon's involvement in everything, as opposed to, it's like, you've got a room full of PhDs in autonomy or people who've engineered these things, who wrote the book on these things. Can we please give them a microphone? Can we please get them at the forefront? Because there's some geniuses in the room who can explain stuff. And you're like, yeah, these are the people who are making this stuff. And that's why I love to see where this is going. You know, individual stakeholders and people come and go, but it's like a mission and an evolution of technology like this is timely, is necessary, and it's revolutionary. Like I said, if we could go to a place where suddenly all of our 10-lane, 8-lane highways, freeways could be reduced to 2 lanes, the manual drivers and the automated drivers, all of a sudden you've got so much more real estate to build houses and parks, reclaim real estate, reclaim communities for people to live in, not cars. Like, that's a part of the game. That's a part of what we're advocating here. I don't know. That's what I'm advocating here. I can't speak to these clowns.
If there was only 2 lanes, yeah. If there's only 2 lanes and one was like autonomous and then one was manual,
yeah.
We all know the right one's going to be manual. But for 100%, I'd be installing a train horn in the Cybertruck, because as soon as someone comes into the autonomous lane to try to pass and be like, you know. Yeah.
If it's working at full efficiency on an autonomous network that's actually optimized 20 years down the road, they're not going to find anywhere to merge in without creating a massive accident.
I mean, it's crazy. I think it's just it's taking out the human error. I think that's eventually where we'll go. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about it. Maybe like 50 years from now, people would be like, remember when you used to actually drive cars yourself?
Mm-hmm.
That was crazy, right?
I think it's realistic that within the next 20 years, we could see if autonomous driving, because it seems like the gold rush is on. I mean, hearing all of the posturing and discussion from China, a lot of other technology firms are interested. I mean, there's so many people who are interested in this because I think that the world is starting to realize it's like we've got so many of the tools necessary to enable autonomous driving. And that's what the next thing is, because if we can link everybody by that kind of technology within 20 years, you're looking at an increase of people being able to travel, a drop in the loss of life on, you know, to use Elon's word, an order of magnitude. But, you know, it's something that we should be pursuing. It's inspiring. It's our space race. We have it in front of us. And it's something that we deserve to do, so much so that 20 years from now, I think that we would look back on this time and be like, do you remember when you were allowed, we just gave licenses to everybody? Like, you just took two tests, a writing test and a driving test. You sat in a car for some dude for 30 minutes. You showed him you knew how to parallel park. Bam, they let you drive. You could go run over a kid an hour later if you wanted to. Hopefully you didn't want to, but you could. Versus, I think in the future, you've got a world where it's like a 12-year-old kid, or sorry, let's make it realistic, a 15-year-old kid below the driving age in whatever state, if he somehow had enough money to go and buy a car, he could go and buy a car that day, and he could drive it home. But he's not driving it. He's buying it to drive him home. He's buying it to drive him to the movies, to the mall, to wherever. Yeah. And down the road, and if that individual wants to be able to manually drive, that's when the testing begins. That's mm-hmm. when it could practically, not to the level of getting your private pilot's license, but you then need to show you know what you are doing, because you are no longer just playing with lives. You're also playing with the cogs of machinery that are moving with such efficiency that we don't have time to even think about the fact that, oh, sorry, I was looking at the radio, so I ran over, you know, all those people in the crosswalk. All of that could be immediately removed. And the first people to get automated vehicles need to be Toyota Prius drivers. I'll just say that.
I knew something was coming.
Something there. Well, I mean, I can see this, like, the interstates for sure, because, like, we see with tollways all the time. Of like, oh, certain roads get transitioned to tollways, and they're profiting. But I think the cross-benefit is there. Oh, you can go faster on the tollway. But I think that's kind of the only benefit, that they can easily turn interstates into like fast lane autonomous like driveways easier than they could build bullet trains.
Mm-hmm.
Now the benefit won't be as big, but like I was just doing the numbers between like Austin and Dallas. Typically it's like 3 hours, 200 miles between here and there. So it's like two and three quarters hour if you're going like 75 miles an hour completely, but then that's also without traffic.
Mm-hmm.
So typically traffic brings it up to 3 hours. But if you were in a single lane of autonomous drivers going 100 miles an hour, every car was going 100 miles an hour, like stacked and tight, you're getting there in an hour and a half. So you're cutting the time down in half almost without traffic, with higher speed. I think there's a huge benefit there. But you probably won't see it for another 20 years. But I think it's people are kind of waking up to the idea that it's much cheaper infrastructure wise to just rely on our roads and figure out ways to make drivers safer and more efficient.
Well, I have a quick little story. So I'm selling our Model S, right? And our Model S is a 2016, and it has autopilot, but it doesn't have full self-driving. Well, there was a husband and wife that came out to look at it. And one of the questions that they had was, does it have FSD, full self-driving? I said, no. And they went on to tell me that they wanted to buy the vehicle for their 17-year-old son. and they wanted full self-driving because they felt safer about him driving in a vehicle that's technically driving him around. So I think that mindset is starting to come around. And this, the husband and wife never owned an electric vehicle. They really didn't know much about electric vehicles other than on the news hearing that they drive themselves. And so that's what they were looking for their 17-year-old son, is they wanted to buy him a vehicle that is going to drive him.
This kind of sounds like the heartwarming equivalent of every joke video you've seen with somebody driving a Tesla, sitting in a gas station, figuring out where the nozzle goes. It's one of those things where it's like the information is out there, but the company has relied on it for so long to help build their name that the public is confused about the capabilities. It's been so unclearly communicated, and there's been so much distance traveled on it that to see them starting to catch up, because I didn't know if we were going to talk about it tonight, but I mean, it is a big topic, a thing this morning. Was that, you know, Department of Justice and governments isn't initiating an inquiry into potential wire fraud charges against Tesla for all their claims about autopilot all this time. And I think that these sort of instances where you have buyers who think that this level 5 autonomy already exists, it's not impossible to see how the average consumer, who maybe isn't as savvy as others to do their research, how they may have believed, oh, in 2019, Elon said that full self-driving was coming by the end of the year. So they probably fixed that by now. They probably have had it for a while. I read about autopilot all the time. And I flew on a plane last week that had autopilot. So, I mean, this is probably great. I want a Tesla. So the fact that that's a part of this conversation now, and the fact that Tesla has been like, it'll drive itself, it can drive itself. And people are like, really, right now? And then he's like, kinda. It's that lack of clarity that I think is now starting to really kind of create this weird thing of being like, okay, we have rules about false advertising, but they're not advertising it, but they are advertising it. So what do we do? And
go ahead, sorry.
It's just a wonky place. I was ending the point.
But yeah, I think you're right. We've talked about it before. Like, I think they're really particular what they put, like, specifically on their website. Like, they're scrutinizing that to the T, but they don't really rely on PR or marketing at all. They're relying on their customers, and when you do that, you're kind of playing the telephone game.
Yeah.
Because then, like, I even just had an interaction the other day where someone came by. And they were looking at the Cybertruck, and they were like, they looked at the call up, and they saw the camera staring at them, and like, oh, wait, is that for like facial recognition? So you can like get into the vehicle? I'm like, no, there's cameras all around it, so eventually it'll drive itself. And that was just like literally what I said. But does it drive itself today? No. But will it? Probably. So it's just kind of one of those things where like just trying to like boil down points down to like really quick snippets, that's kind of where what's happening is like, oh, I've heard of full self-driving, and then they read more into it, and they're like, wait a minute, it's not really ready yet, because they're just not informed and they're not educated about it. But what's the solution to that? I have no idea. Like, I think the service centers maybe just need to do a better job at that sales point of like explaining to people. But then you have people that are just buying it online and don't know.
I think that it's kind of one of those, if I was a lawyer, it's one of those, okay, show me what they did, not what they failed to do. Show me what they did and we'll respond. I can't respond to things that they failed to do and that the consumer, the American public ran away with.
Right.
There, you know, I mean, I am not a lawyer, so I'm sure somebody in the comments could eventually be like, no, they're not allowed to, but I, you know, they've done what they have to explicitly say, you know, full self-driving is coming. We've got it by the end of this year. We've got all these things, but you know, they haven't been like, yeah, here it is, level 5, get in the car, it'll drive you to Vegas, just fall asleep in the back seat. But that's become something that people think is going to happen any day now. Is it Tesla's responsibility to be like, guys, calm down? Their job is to sell cars, and they believe that they can get there. They're sitting on a mound of data. They're going to spend $10 billion this year alone on building AI infrastructure to try to reach that goal using the methods that they now believe are ready for that hardware. So if that's where they think that they are, they're not going to throw a water on that fire. You know, they're going to be like, yeah, we're on the verge of achieving it. You know, it's the tech pump. It's not to say that it's right, but I think that it's fair to say it's not necessarily wrong. But yeah, and then I also just posted something in our Discord chat. That's why everybody's eagerly about to chime in.
Yeah, I just sent a message to Farzad. I was like, hey, we just got this information from you, man. This is awesome.
We need a breaking news. Exactly. We need something to kind of.
It was Farzad 7 hours ago, and then Elon responded to it 31 minutes ago.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and share this with everybody. We have some breaking news here. So Chase's buddy, Farzad, I didn't want to say that because, you know, Farzad's a big guy and they may know where he lives, and now they know where you live, Chase.
Oh, yeah.
But so he, in a conversation, and this was going back to what we were showing earlier about the 12.4 full self-driving, Farzad tweeted out 7 hours ago, Elon Musk insinuates that the nag present in full self-driving that asks the driver to lightly pull on the wheel would be removed in 12.4. Elon Musk, can you confirm? If true, this is a pretty big deal. Elon says yes. And then Sawyer then tweeted out that Elon Musk has confirmed that after 3.5 years, Tesla will finally be getting rid of the full self-driving steering wheel nag with full self-driving version 12.4, expected to launch in 1 to 2 weeks.
All right, I have a confession to make. I have my first Tesla and my Tesla Model X 2017, and I had full self-driving on it, but we didn't have full self-driving at the time. We had enhanced autopilot, navigate on autopilot. I live about, at that time I was working 3 days a week at in Burbank, California at Warner Brothers Studios. So, but I live about 55 miles away in Fontana, California currently. So I was driving about 110 miles a day. Fun. But the autopilot is really what made it possible for me. And my confession, you know, Father, for I have sinned, is back in the day, if you purchased a 1 pound lead weight from Amazon.
Yeah.
No, you buy a 1 pound lead weight, get some Velcro or a rubber band, and just tied it to the side of the steering wheel, the vehicle would not nag you. It was enough of a resistive input that it would never ask you for nag. And I would never sleep. I was always attentive. I was always in the car. I was not in the back seat. You know, my wife was not with me. Otherwise, that would have been fun. But I was always in the driver's seat, always driving the car. But I had the nag neutralized with the 1 pound weight. And I shared this, and everybody was like, "You're an asshole." And I'm like, "Yes." So the fact that the nag became such an issue, I want to go on record and say that I have personally ridden in a Tesla since 2017 to 2020. 80 days a year, 110 miles a day. Quick back of the envelope math. What is that? Over 8,000 miles, 9,000 miles, something like that. A significant distance. And I have never felt less secure or concerned about the autopilot system in my car putting me in danger if I didn't have my hand on the wheel. I was still monitoring it. I was still watching for warnings, taking control when I thought that literally I have dash cam footage of a ladder falling off of a truck in front of me and still taking control of the car, getting out of the way and posting about it. Like, man, what an asshole. Just fix your ladder, you know, secure your load if you're traveling on the freeway. Reminder. But I never felt like the nag was something that created safety. And to hear them to hear them moving past the nag is really affirming, really positive. Oh, yeah. This should be really bullish for everybody who has a Tesla.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
And that's my statement. That's the tweet.
Well, you see Tesla Yoda down here says nag delete is the father of steering wheel delete.
He's not the real Yoda. It doesn't sound like Yoda at all.
No.
Father of steering wheel delete, nag delete is.
I want to say though that I think I've heard about that tip before, but I think it was on another website where I've seen that tip about hanging something off the wheel to get it to drive itself. There was something with the passenger too. We won't get into that, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I will further identify myself as the asshole because when the full self-driving beta came out and the safety score, they reworked. I think this was back in like early days of V11 or maybe V10. When they first made FSD beta available for drivers, they reworked that system because I would put the 1 pound weight on it and it wouldn't show the steering wheel nag, but it disabled the autopilot and it would throw me a warning. It would put me in the penalty box and say, you're in violation of this, two more strikes and no more full self-driving for you. And I was like, oh, they reworked it. So it did eventually, they coded something into it to figure out consistent, obviously gravity-based input that stayed consistent, that didn't have the inconsistency of humans touching the wheel, moving their arms, wiping their forehead and doing more. You know, that those little nag inputs were not consistent. Those were the ones that they were looking for. The nags that I was giving with just a 1 pound weight was no longer sufficient. And I got put in the penalty box twice over it just to verify. Cause it happened once. And then I was like, I wonder if, and then I did it again, it threw it away again. And I was like, aha, they figured me out faster. But
yeah, I think they figured out a lot of it. Cause even when was it, I think 2019, when I first had my like autopilot experience, when I was driving up on the highway, I was on my phone off and on, safely, of course. But now, if you do the same thing, if you're on your phone, it's using, I'm pretty sure it's using the in-cab camera and showing what's going on. So it knows if you're literally looking at your phone or not. And it's like, hey, dummy, look at the drive. Yep.
It definitely, any vehicle with an interior cabin camera absolutely has some sort of a profile or image recognition capability to notice when you, the driver, are looking down at a phone.
Yeah.
It knows this profile well. I have a way to defeat that too. If you're curious, leave a comment and I'll tell you.
But little sticker.
No, it's even better. You don't even have to buy anything. Okay, I'll give it to y'all for free. The visor on the vehicle when you're sitting in the driver's seat, the visor, flip it down. It has an extension rod on it for if you're putting it on this side further out. Just extend it further and collude the camera so that the camera can partially see the rest of the cabin, just not your eyes.
Nice. Well,
because next time it's like it can't yell at you for putting the visor in a position to protect your eyes as the driver. And if it happens to block their stupid camera, so be it.
Well, next time I want to go on a road trip with my Vision Pro, I'll do that.
Just extend the thing and block it. Make sure that it can still see some of the, because I think that the image recognition still uses the whole frame of what the vehicle looks like, mats out the existing part, and then focuses on your head positioning, and then makes judgments based off of that. So if it can't see your head, but it can see the rest of your body, great. If it sees your phone in your hand, though, you're screwed. It will throw warnings. The moment you pick up a phone and it sees the light from it, it'll say, hands on the wheel. Apparently not after 12.4, though.
You know, this just gave me a great idea. And I want whoever's watching this, whether it's in the live or once I post this later on, leave a comment if this is something that you want. If we do a segment where Will gives like the tip of the day and he gives us some type of, lifestyle tip. It doesn't even need to be electric vehicle or Tesla related, but he gave you two today, so there you go. Moving
all
on.
All four tips.
Exactly.
Just the tip with Will. I like that.
I like that. We're gonna do that, and I'm gonna have a whole like a little. The graphic that comes up that as we go into that
Will's
segment.
Head just...
Oh my! Just my head.
Can you shave your head? Are you
allowed to shave your head? Well, I do think that there's probably like a good segment that we could merge with this is like talking about like really good accessories, because I feel like that's kind of we're starting to see more aftermarket stuff kind of come along.
Yeah, we could definitely do something like that. I think that would be great. And speaking about segments, let's go into the wrap of the week. Here we go.
Wait, is it rusting?
I'm not sure.
No demand.
I mean, how many months now? It's been like, what, 5 months already?
If you just leave it outside. I mean, if they just parked it in these trees back here for the 4 or 5 months, I'm sure it would have just done this on its own.
Looks like something out of Judge Dredd or something. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Amazing.
Actually, low-key, I kind of like it. Like, if it was like a black painted metal that then rusted. Oh man, I think that would look cool.
I think what would look really, really cool also is if they were to do like either hyper realistic paintings or decals of something like it already screams like urban decay. So I'm like, if there were just like little flowers or something along the edges, or indications of like repopulation after you know apocalypse or something, it would look really sick. I will say this as a continuity person, I don't believe that it's rusted because that tin job though looks sick.
Yes. I mean, look at the wheels, look at everything. But yeah it's, I mean, it's
everything else looks great.
Yeah, everything else looks pristine.
Yeah. Stainless steel didn't survive. The plastic, it's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I love it. And if you notice, it's a beast.
It is a beast. Oh. Yeah,
it's a beast.
That's awesome.
So it rusts faster.
Exactly.
I love it.
So that is the wrap of the week. So congratulations to whoever owns this Cybertruck. I'm sure they were waiting for their award. And then let's get into what were they thinking? Because what was this guy thinking?
Oh!
Jeremy. Good old Jeremy.
Yeah. I'll just roll the clip.
Is he the one that... Oh, is this the one? Is this... Yeah, play it.
Well, this was there's a lot to unpack here.
Where to start?
The fact that he got it open though.
Yeah, the fact that he got it open is actually lucky for him, because something that he didn't know after the fact, and he was very open about it on his X account. A shout out to Jeremy Jenkins. Yeah. But he one of the engineers kind of gave him a tidbit after the fact. They're like, hey, by the way, the frunk will close, and if it doesn't successfully close the first time, the next attempt it will try to close harder and harder until it actually does close. So he didn't know that. So he was rolling with like maybe one or two attempts already, and this was like probably pinching pretty harder than it probably really should have.
Oh my lord.
So yeah, that's
he's lucky. Yeah, he's lucky that thing opened up on him.
Yeah, and he was like, it would have been good to know that ahead of time. And I agree. Like, if that was like how the functionality worked, that should have been written in the patch notes, because this was kind of like we said last week. It was just kind of one little line of like, hey, by the way, this is not an issue anymore.
I'm sure he's doing great because this has given him
so
many views, right? But. Yeah. I don't.
He said that he made like $2,700 off of this video alone in X and TikTok money or something like that. You know, TikTok bucks or whatever.
Well,
they're using.
My brother-in-law sent me this on Instagram, and he told me he goes, do it for the gram. I go, hell no, I ain't doing this. Well, you can keep your $2,700. I want to keep my finger.
This was before he put his toes in there. By the way.
He's like known for his feet, though, or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like all of his videos have his feet in them or something, right?
When we were talking about Pedalgate, like he put out a video of like, what I don't is know this what guy's talking about. Jeremy Judkins. Mm-hmm. When he talked about Pedalgate, like he put a video in of him like focusing on his pedals, like I don't know what people are talking about. I could just put the pressure on it. He had his like bare feet with like his toes yeah. out and like pushing the pedal, and people are like, oh my god, what's going on with his feet? So much so where his feet became part of the joke, and then now he painted his toes and put his toes in that frunk closing, which seemed to be okay. His toes are unsever. So.
This guy is ridiculous. I'm trying to find him. I can't find him.
He is hard to peg. Whatever. Like he's kind of chaotic. He's kind of like the Joker if he was completely harmless. Yeah. Like he's just constant anarchy and just this idea of, hey, the video is literally like him with like the frunk full of vegetables being like, I'm gonna put all of these in the frunk. And I'm like, I know what you're doing, man, but this is the reason why warning labels exist. Like you shouldn't be doing this. But you know, well, it's for the gram, so or yeah. TikTok, I guess.
Well, Jeremy congratulations. Is a warning label.
Yeah, congratulations to him for winning the What Were They Thinking for the week, and also for his $2,700. I'm sure his finger
will be cashing
is
that check before
happy.
The government chases TikTok out of town.
It's coming. So I don't know about you guys. Do you guys have anything else?
No, I think it's gonna be we're gonna have a lot of news. I think that we're gonna have a lot of stuff to talk about, because it's like between now and August 8th, with the robotaxi debut alleged or whatever they're gonna do for the robotaxi, it seems like Elon's really trying to make up some distance, whether it's for his payout thing that he's pioneering, or sorry, championing, or just the robotaxi, the August 8th thing, or just everything going on, everything across the board. It seems like he's got a lot of ground to make up, and I think that we're going to have a lot to talk about because of it.
Do we know where the robotaxi event is going to be located at?
You didn't get your invite? Bro, no. Jason, I go, what's up?
We know. I'm no. not going to say it, but William will say
yeah.
it.
Oh, okay. I'm not telling him. If he didn't get the airline ticket, I said to
him. I mean, it's got to be, I would assume it's going to be Giga Texas. Like, there's yeah. no way it's not going to be here. But
I'd assume. Well, I was just thinking, I'm thinking, you know, maybe we'd do a live podcast from the event if we're able
that
to
would
go.
Be bomb. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Too bad we don't know guys like Farzad or
Monroe. somebody at Giga Texas or you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Someone maybe named Chase.
I know a couple of people around town now. So yeah, definitely I'll keep you guys in posted, because yeah, if we could do an in person thing, that'd be sweet.
Yeah. That would be actually really cool.
Yeah. I love Austin. I haven't had some good barbecue in a long damn time. So.
And Austin's not hot at all, so it'll be perfect timing.
Especially in August.
Yeah, exactly.
there's a whole ass metalcore band called July in Texas. Shout out. July in Texas. And we're gonna go we would go in August, but hell, let's do it.
I will say good news on, because we were talking about after the podcast last week, good news on Big Ben. I think it's possible, because there are non-Tesla chargers, like literally like one plug at a couple of locations that are just outside of the park in Big Ben. For those listening, I was really excited about the off-road capabilities we talked about last week, and I really want to go with family out to Big Ben, which is, if you're looking at Texas, it's the little notch on the bottom half of Texas. There's a little state park there that's gorgeous, beautiful, bunch of mountains, but there's not a lot of electricity out there. So we were looking at the fact that the closest Tesla charger to Big Ben is 95 miles away, and with 310 miles of range on the Cybertruck, that's kind of close. But thankfully, a couple of places down closer to Big Ben actually do have like plugins, so we could go down and charge and camp. So I'm looking forward to do that. Maybe sometime in June, we'll see. But I would like my light bar to come in before that. So we'll see.
No word on that?
They emailed me literally like 2 hours ago. They're like, "Hey, you pre-ordered this. We're expecting it in June sometime." And I'm like, "Oh, that would have been nice."
My god!
Come on, T Sport Line, said it.
All right. On that note. All right, guys. Appreciate it. On to next week.
All right.
See you.
Thanks, everybody. Later.
Yep.